Shabbat Shalom. So let's wait until the end, okay? We'll see. So I would like to ask you to open with me scriptures, and also I would like to ask you to think. Okay? Let's think today. Sometimes it's unusual things during the sermon, but let's do that together, okay? I'm so happy to see you here, and I'm so happy to share the word from the Lord together. So today's Torah portion, Parshat Vayetzeh, he went out. And I call my message purpose-driven life or born to be a blessing. Either way, it's the same. Today's chapter from the Torah is very interesting personally to me. And I would like to look at Jacob's life, because this Torah portion about Jacob, Yaakov, from a perspective that many people have never considered, or some people never considered. So, who is familiar with the story of Jacob? Who knows? Not King Jacob, different Jacob, yeah. Yaakov, our Jacob. Have you heard that even before his birth, he fought with his brother Esau? By deceit, he stole his father's blessing. By tending the sheep, he robbed the honest Laban, and by lying, he reconciled with Esau. I mean, short story. And only when the Lord met him in a cave and fought with him, Jacob was completely transformed from a deceiver, Jacob, into the man of God, Israel. This is a very common story, common version of this story of Jacob's life. In the Christian world, I heard many sermons like that. Very short sermons. Liar, now he's Israel, not anymore. Actually, go forward, I disagree with this story. So, let's go. And even some circles within the Jewish world have the same thinking about Jacob. Many Bible teachers build their teachings on this version of the story. And there are even a number of works written on this subject. This means very short story. Liar, not liar. Today I would like to share a completely different, I believe, a biblical perspective on the life of the patriarch, Jacob. Let's look at the life of this special man with whom the Lord declared to have a bond, even asserting himself to be the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and guess who? Jacob. Something wrong with the liar here, yeah? Already. But before I begin, I would like to share an important observation that I made a few years ago. It's my personal experience. Examining a chapter from the Torah, I decided to study the interpretation of some biblical scholars and some rabbis on the subject from the one of the Torah portion. And was extremely surprised that some reviewers of the Bible copy each other. They just copy each other. Sometimes one reviews offering the idea of another as his own opinion. Sometimes, not often, but sometimes. Sometimes contradicting the Torah without even trying to figure out what is the meaning of the original source. So I found it, personally. You can try, but I found it. And I can only imagine how many people in search of answers to their questions take someone else's opinion for the truth, reading articles that appear beautiful at first glance, and not trying to find out for themselves what the original source are saying or is saying. I think that each of us, to some extent, believes the opinion of someone, and it's normal because we are people, we are sharing our opinions, it's normal. So today's Torah portion, Torah chapter, very clearly shows what a mistake this can become. So, Jacob, who was he really? Why did he and not his older brother Esau, became a patriarch for our people. Why? And did the Lord bless the deceit and accept the lies of Jacob and reject the honest and truthful Esau? Is it true? If so, then it turns out that the Lord encouraged untruth. If he blessed untruth and deceit, it means that he is blessing the not truth. But of course, we know that this is not the case. Psalm 45, verse 8. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. This is the position of the Lord. He hates wickedness, he hates lie, and he loves truth and righteousness. So what is really the truth about this story of Jacob? Let's begin our study with the previous chapter of the Torah, Parshat Toldot, a little bit earlier. And today is the time to tear down our prejudice, to look at our forefather Jacob from a biblical point of view. So let's open Genesis chapter 25 from verse 21. Genesis 25 from verse 21. And please look with me, because this is very important text for us today. Today is the basic test for us. From verse 21, Genesis chapter 25. Isaac prayed to Adonai on behalf of his wife, because she was barren. Adonai answered his plea, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. But the children struggled with one another inside her. And she said, "If it's like this, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of Adonai. Adonai said to her, "Two nations are you in your womb, and two peoples from your body will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other people, but the older will serve the younger." Interesting text, yeah? When her time came to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came out reddish. All of him was like a fur coat, and they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding onto Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, or Yaakov. Jacob, it's King Jacob, so Yaakov. Isaac was 60 years old when he fathered them. So interesting. The name Yaakov, or Jacob, means, it came from the word akef. It means heel. Simply, it's not liar, it's not deceiver, it's heel. Also, it means heel catcher. So he catch his brother heel. He was quick enough from his childhood. He who follows upon the heel of one. This is literal translation of the name Yaakov, Jacob. So what's happened there? What was the picture? Rebecca experienced such a severe pregnancy. She felt so bad that she went to pray in order to understand what's happening, what's going on here, and what to do next. That was her honest prayer to the Lord, inquire to the Lord. And when she prayed and asked the Lord why she was suffering so much, she received a clear, I would like to mention here, clear answer from the Lord. The Lord told her, the older will serve the younger. This is text, Bible, Torah. So, first, I would like to immediately make it clear that Jacob did not steal the birthright blessing. It was given to him by God even before his birth. It was already given to him. The Lord blessed him. Let's begin from here, from foundation. Romans chapter 9, verse 10 and 14. Romans chapter 9, verse 10 and 14. Romans 9. And not only this, but also God gave Rebekah twins, two sons from the act with our father Isaac. Yet before the sons were even born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose and choice might stand, not because of works, but because of Him who calls, it was said to her, "The older shall serve the younger." As it is written, "Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." Clear enough, I think, I believe. Rebekah received a word from the Lord that Jacob was the continuer of the blessed line of the chosen people. She received this word from the Lord. She was a mother who was able to hear the voice of God and submit to the will of the Lord. She feared God. She remembered the word from the Lord and conveyed it to her youngest son, thereby helping Jacob to enter his calling. He was born with calling from the Lord to inherit blessings. Rebekah was the one who were able to push Jacob. If you remember the story about this fool, it was Rebekah who told him to do this way. I don't think Jacob would be able even to come up with this idea. It was wife of Isaac. And my personal thing, it's my idea, I don't know. I think Isaac was a very stubborn person. Potentially. I will show you a little bit later why. Maybe not very, but a little bit as a man. I think he knew, but it's my opinion. So his wife knows what to do. She created the plan by which he might receive the blessing from his father Isaac. It was her vision from the Lord. She told Yaakov how and when to approach his father. Because she knew the promise and the word from the Lord. And she was a promise keeper. I see it's in the text here, because she received from the Lord. And she kept this word in her heart until the end. Second, let's see how the Torah describes Jacob and Esau. And we can see how Torah describes Jacob. So, Genesis 25, and we'll open many times this chapter today. Genesis 25, verse 27. When the boys grew up, Esau became a man knowledgeable in hunting, an outdoorsman, while Jacob was a mild man, remaining in tents. 28. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a thirst for wild game. Good reason to love him, yeah? Good hunter, cool boy. But Rebekah loved Jacob. In Jewish families, sometimes it happens. But I believe the reason why, because she received the word from the Lord. That's my opinion. So the Torah describes Esau not as a bad man. Torah said that Esav ish yodeh tzait ish sadeh. So he was knowledgeable, experienced in hunting, learner, capable, adroit. Esau was prominent and promising, successful in earthly life. Good hunter. Good, successful person. And for this, his father loved him and considered him worthy and strong. Good to receive blessing, to be firstborn. Good enough, strong person, strong will. Wild game, super. my favorite son. Jacob was mild. Let's say together mild. Actually, I don't think this word actually explains whole meaning of the word here, because in Hebrew, ishtam, the word tam, it means not only mild. Full meaning of this word means perfect, blameless, complete, morally innocent, having integrity, one who is morally pure, gentle, innocent. When people said that he was liar, I think they don't know text, because he was tam. Completely opposite from liar. I would like to repeat, perfect, complete, morally innocent, having integrity, one who is morally pure, gentle, innocent. He was this man. Torah, it describes him. It is the opposite of how many biblical commentators describe Jacob as liar and deceiver. So I have a question. Why do so many people look at Jacob as a liar? What's the reason? I want to share my opinion. It's my opinion. I think because he is Israel. He is a Jew. Abraham is father of all believers. So we have Jacob, who is a Jew, who is guilty. And if some other child was born holding on the heel of his brother, everyone would say, how sweet, how cute. But because Yaakov is Jewish, it means many people say that he is cunning and bad from his birth. Actually, I heard these explanations. But I don't think he was so smart in his mother womb to be cunning or to do something evil. It was cute. His name was Jacob because he was born this way, holding the heel of his brother. Oh, this is the nature of blind anti-Semitism. Just blame Jewish people in everything. It's all. Tam, very interesting lesson from the Torah about this special word Tam, Ishtam, man of integrity. Tam is a word which we can find in the Bible 13 times. And you can, if you want, you can see for yourself. For example, Psalm 37, verse 37. One of the examples of this word, tam. Psalm 37, 37. This is commandment from the Lord, actually, to all of us. Notice the man of integrity. Ish tam, man of integrity. The same words. And watch the upright, for the man of shalom has a future. Wow. Ishtam, man of integrity. Pure. Watch him. Look at him. Take example for yourself. Copy his steps, everything in his life. Exactly the same word that describes the character of Jacob is used in the Bible to describe the character of Job. The same word, tam, used to describe character of Job. And there is not a single person in the Bible whom the Lord would call the word tam. Only him and Job. Actually, it's a high level of his quality, of his character, from the beginning. In the book of Job 1:1, we can find, there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. Now that man was blameless, tam. Now that man was blameless, word tam. It's about Job. And nobody says that Job is liar or deceiver. I don't think so. And upright. He feared God and shunned evil. This is a description of Job. And the same word used to describe character and qualities of Jacob, Yaakov. man of integrity, good quality, good character, pure. And interestingly, it's for me, interestingly, Job was honored to see the Lord. And Jacob also had the honor of seeing the Lord twice. Oh. And he was able to see the Lord face to face. He met Yeshua in the place called Penuel, face of God, literally translation of this place. So Torah describes Jacob in this place as a humble, God-fearing, moral man, man of integrity, pleasing to the Lord. I don't see here liar, deceiver, or something else. So let's look at Isaac's attitude to Esau and blessing of Jacob. Let's look from perspective of Isaac. I mean, who people say Jacob deceived. So what Isaac thinks about it, all this situation? Very interesting. It will be, I mean, it's a very interesting picture here. So, but before, in the days before the priesthood of Levi, we need to understand something very important here. Birthright meant not only inheritance in the house, but most importantly, a priesthood. It was before the Levites. The firstborn son became the priest for whole family. Whole family. The one who appeared before God for the whole family. His job was to keep faith in the Lord through all generations and to pass this faith to his firstborn. This was job of firstborn son who received the firstborn blessing to be priest, a priest, to bring this faith through generation to generation, like a chain. He's supposed to be a chain, part of this chain. Isaac, like every good father, looked at the life of his sons in human terms, like a good father. Esau, successful, prominent, strong, one who can take care of himself, good hunter, one who is able to protect his family, one who is successful in the eyes of others. But here's the most important thing to note. According to the laws of the time, it was the firstborn son who was given his father's blessing to extend and preserve the clan. It's supposed to be his. So obviously, Esau met this criteria. Obviously, he was the one for the job in the eyes of Isaac. Everything good. He's a great man. Strong enough, you know, he can hunt, he knows what to do, he knows, you know, how to work out his way. He's successful, he can take care about our family, but, one but, and the but, the most important but in his life. Unfortunately for Esau, he neglected the birthright and married foreign women against the will of his parents. It was one of the signs that he was rebellious and not interested in spirituality at all. That Esau would not be able to extend and preserve the seed of the family of Abraham and Isaac. He was not able to preserve faith and to pass this faith to generations. Do you understand the calling of Isaac? Of Jacob, to preserve faith of Abraham, not only for himself, but to pass it to another generations. Let's read the scriptures about it. It's Genesis chapter 26, Genesis chapter 26, verse 34. Genesis 26, verse 34. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite from another nation. And Basemath, or Basemath, I don't know, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And verse 35, let's read carefully. And they were a burden to Isaac and Rebekah. It was pain in this family. It was not the place to keep faith. It was not the place to keep generation to generation. So Esau clearly saw that foreign daughters were not pleasing to his parents. And remember the difference with the life of Isaac. Of Isaac and actually Jacob. They were obedient. They found wives who were able to preserve faith. Faithful wives. Also, we can read an amazing story that shows how Esau related to spiritual blessings. I mean, to the priesthood in the house. If you open Genesis chapter 25, all this story about Esau and about this borscht or soup, I don't know how to call it, this red food. Borscht is actually also red. Genesis chapter 25, verse 32. Jacob said, "Make a pledge to me now." So he made a pledge to him and sold his birthright to Jacob for food. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank, then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. This is the Torah. This is the foundation of our faith. He sold and he despised for nothing. In other words, Esau says, "Why do I need this birthright and with it the priesthood? I don't need it. You can have it. It's not important for me." I don't think it was important for him. If something important for me, I would never trade it on some food. So for Esau, birthright is something that is invisible. You can touch it, you can try it, you can test it. It's invisible. Incomprehensible and, as a result, unprofitable. And with the birthright, the priesthood was of no interest to Esau. I mean, I can't touch it. What's the point for me? I'm dying. I want to eat. I don't need this birthright. If I die, I don't think he would die. I think he needs to walk a little bit more and have food in his own house. But anyway, I believe, it's my thing. Isaac knew the will of the Lord was to bless Jacob because it shows in the scripture before. And despite all that, wanted to bless Esau in contrary to the word from the Lord to his wife. He still wants to bless Esau. Everything is good about Esau. He's firstborn. He's good in hunting. He's a great man. I want to bless him. He will be good for my family. This Isaac think about it. This was his way of thinking. And if you read Genesis chapter 27, he decided anyway to bless Esau, his oldest son. It was his decision. And, you know, his wife, he was able to hear this discussion. And he went to her boy, Jacob, and you know what's happened. She told him, "Go now. Do that right now. This is the only time." So, can you imagine what would happen if Esau inherited the birthright? The line of Abraham would be interrupted. Faith of Abraham would be lost. It will not be passed to another generation. Even Esau is a good man, great person. I don't say anything bad about him. But he was not right man for this kind of job. He was not the right vessel. He was not chosen one from the beginning. Esau was not able to link the faith of Abraham to his children. He was not able to do that. It was not important for him. So, this is my opinion. I want to share with you. The mistake of Isaac was not that he blessed Jacob. His mistake was that he wanted to bless Esau. It was mistake of Isaac. Not Jacob, not Yaakov. But Yaakov's mom knew the will of God and wanted to see that it was fulfilled entirely. She was watching about it. So let's look at Jacob and Yaakov. When Yaakov agreed to go to the father to take the blessing of birthright, it's my opinion, he literally sacrificed everything in his life for the sake of the favor of the Most High, of the Lord. He lost everything, if you read carefully scriptures. He lost family. He lost his brother. He lost inheritance. His inheritance, he lost it. He went out of house with nothing. He lost father and mother. He paid great price for firstborn rights. He had to leave everything, literally everything, and save his life in a foreign land, having only the faith, and blessing of his father, nothing more. He had to start his life over. That was a real sacrifice. If he was a liar, he was a bad liar, not successful. Because he lost everything. You will think, if somebody lies, why? Somebody deceives, why? What's the reason to deceive somebody? Usually it's to gain something. He gained pain, problems for many years ahead of him because he was obedient. We read it before, because the Lord told the youngest will be in charge, will be first. All the inheritance and possession of Isaac should have gone to Esau, because Esau stayed with his parents. But you know what? Interesting. I never saw it before in the scriptures. Fortunately, Isaac finally saw the light. We can see that he recognized that it is Jacob who is to continue the family line. He calls on Jacob a second time. Isaac calls him second time and bless him once again, twice, second time, confirming that he agrees with the will of God and the words of his wife, that Jacob is chosen by the Lord. And we can read it in Genesis chapter 28. Now he sees everything. Now Isaac, he knew the truth. He asked Jacob to come and he said these words. So Isaac called for Jacob from verse 1, blessed him, verse 3. Now may El Shaddai bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you so that you will become an assembly of peoples. And may he give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your seed with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojourn, which God gave to Abraham. So he is releasing the blessing from his heart. If he would be angry at Jacob, he would never do that. He's agreeing with this blessing. He said, yes, son, my son, I'm blessing you. Go. May blessing of Abraham be with you. This is your land. You are a continuation of my life. So, and fourth, the most importantly, let's see what the Lord says about Jacob. If he's a liar or a deceiver, what the Lord is saying about him. So, the first thing that happened to Jacob when he lost everything and chose a spiritual blessing, when he went out of his father's house, the first thing happened to him. the Lord came to him in a dream, blessed him, and gave him a great revelation about Beit El, house of the Lord. This was the first revelation in this world about the building of Beit El, house of the Lord. He gave this revelation to Jacob. This is Genesis chapter 28, verse 11. I want to read almost all chapter, 28, 11. He happened upon a certain place and spent the night there, for the sun had set. So he took one of the stones from the place, because he don't have anything else. He just left with nothing. And put it by his head and lay down in this place, that place. He dreamed. All of a sudden, there was a stairway set up on the earth, and it stopped reaching to the heavens. And behold, angels of God going up and down on it. Surprisingly, Adonai was standing on top of it, and he said, I am Adonai, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your seed. Your seed will be as the dust of the land, and you will burst forth to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you, Jacob, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed, and in your seed. Behold, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not forsake you until I have done what I promised you. Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, no doubt, Adonai is in this place, and I was unaware. So he was afraid and said, how fearsome this place is. There is none other than a house of God. This must be the gate of heaven. And you know the second time when the Lord appeared to Jacob, when he returned from the foreign land with his wives. Again, Yeshua personally appeared to him, face to face, El Panim, Panim El Panim, face of God, Penuel, and the place called Penuel. So, in spite of many commentators by people with opinions to the contrary, the Lord appeared to Jacob, not because Jacob was crafty and a liar until the Lord came and changed him, but because Jacob was righteous and gentle, Tam. And if you know the scriptures, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, I like the scriptures, one of the best. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Come on. Who will see God? Pure in heart. Jacob was able to see twice the Lord, face to face, twice, from the beginning and in the end of his journey. Jacob valued his priesthood, the will of God, and God's call upon his life. He overcame many difficulties and trials in his life, but was rewarded for his faithfulness by receiving his inheritance, spiritual inheritance. God's blessing upon his life and by his inclusion as one of the patriarchs, God referring to himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we know our God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The life of Jacob teaches us that a believer is one who puts his own will on the altar of sacrifice and makes every effort to fulfill God's will. And this is the purpose and meaning of our faith. Yeshua himself explained in just a few words what true faith is all about. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Matthew 16:24. When Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? This is the only way. So I would like to stop here because it's already 9 o'clock, but please think about this. Just consider this opinion about Jacob's life, because I believe this is the biblical view to see Jacob as a man of God, as a tam, person who is clean before the Lord, who was called by the Lord from before he was born in this world. I believe it's very important for our lives. So let's close our service. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your presence in this place, Lord. Thank you for Jacob, for his example for all of us, Lord. Thank you for your protection on his life, and thank you for your protection on our lives, Lord. Lord, we need your blessing to keep going, Lord. We need your blessing to be able to fulfill everything you have to us for us, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you so much. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Amen. So let's close with Aaronic benediction. Let's pray. Yevarechecha Adonai veishmerecha Yaher Adonai panavalecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panavalecha veyasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you. And may he keep you. May the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.